And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, and welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West. Live, local, on location at Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the Central Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. I am your host for this half-hour excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the Valley, Nick Perez. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Glad you tuned in. Sponsor this half-hour, Christian Book Distributors. You know, as a preacher, I need good tools for Bible study. And with Christian Book Distributors, you can get all your Christian books and Bibles at bargain prices. With a large selection of Christian fiction, kids' books, Christian music, DVDs, books, both classics and contemporary works, and of course Bibles, CBD is sure to have exactly what you need. Go online and visit www.christianbook.com or call 1-800-CHRISTIAN. That's 1-800-247-4784. Christian Book Distributors, serving the Christian community for over 30 years. So I was listening to the radio today, and one of the local talking heads, who it is doesn't matter after all, I'm the voice of the Valley, they were talking about helping the poor. Specifically, they were using the word panhandlers, and that's because of a news article that came out a few days ago, just now getting around to it, I guess, about, and this is out of the Fresno Bee, aggressive panhandler, that's in quotes by the way, aggressive panhandler cited for 11th time in 2016, found with $1,800 in his pocket. We're 18 days into the new year. He's already been cited 11 times for aggressive panhandling. By Rory Appleton, who I assume is related to Ray Appleton. And he's one of the talking heads here in the Central Valley. But anyway, the article reads as follows. A man who police say was walking into traffic west of Highway 99 to ask drivers for money had more than $1,800 in his pockets when officers sighted him Monday morning, something they've done more than 70 times in the past year. Sergeant Todd Miller said that Kevin Joy, 43, was standing in the center median of Clinton and Weber Avenues. An officer watched him approach more than 10 cars within 20 minutes and ask for money. Joy was arrested and cited for a municipal code barring people from standing on center medians without a permit. That's a law? Who's the guy who put that forward in the city council meeting? But anyway, we need, in our code, a law which says you must have a permit to stand in the center median. Who's the guy who did that? That boggles my mind. We have a law for everything. And this guy was breaking this one. So anyway, Miller said residents in the area have called the Fresno Police Department several times recently to complain about Joy, who allegedly runs into traffic. He's been cited 11 times for similar violations since January 1st. He was also cited more than 60 times for these offenses in 2015. And just that higher level math off the top of my head means that's what, five times a month? Miller said Joy has been offered city housing resources to improve his situation, but has refused. Now that is interesting. This guy's been offered stuff. Free stuff, I'm sure. Housing resources. I would assume that's not only room and board, but also, some food and some other necessities. And he said no. Which would seem to indicate he likes doing this. He likes panhandling. The article concludes with Sergeant Miller, saying anyone wishing to help homeless people should donate to a local nonprofit or local charity. Don't just give them the money, in other words. And, you know, there may be some wisdom there. You're just enabling some of these folks to continue. Some of these folks, obviously, at least one guy, I shouldn't overgeneralize here. This guy, he didn't want their help. So anyway, the conversation on the way in was about helping folks like this, helping the panhandler, the vagrant was the word that they used. And this is interesting now because it does, you know, I talked about the golden rule in the previous episode, and now we're getting to the application of this and how this should show up. So it's ancillary to it, but, and by the way, aggressive panhandler, would that imply that there's passive panhandling? Or is aggressive just, here's, because I guess there are different categories of this. This guy was walking up to cars, asking people, and I guess that's aggressive. That's the aggressive aspect of this. Active. He's going up. He's walking up to them asking for money. Versus, I guess it would be passive. Passive panhandling, which would be just a guy holding a sign. You know, and I had to work, need food, have children, God bless, you know. So if Mr. Joy was just holding a sign, but he wasn't in the center median, maybe he's on the side of the road or something, would it be okay then? You know, and that way he's not, you know, running up to people, running into traffic. I'm just wondering, would that make a difference? And we maybe wouldn't be having this conversation. Because here's where the conversation went. It was... You know, we've cited this guy over 70 times in 13 months, not even 13 months, 12 and a half months. It's not doing any good. He spent time in jail as well as a result of his violations. And so now we're talking about a very specific case, talking about this guy in particular, but we're trying to apply it generally to all vagrants, all panhandlers. And how do we deal with these folks? And the conversation turned to, well, now we should start maybe punishing the giver. You know, you fine the person who's handing the money out the window. If they get caught, it's a fine of X number of dollars. From what I understand, they already do this in, like, Washington, I think, is where they do it. At least in some parts of Washington. If you're caught giving homeless people, giving vagrants, panhandlers money, you're going to get cited. And I don't know what the dollar figure is, but I think it was like a few hundred bucks. It's pretty steep. So we're going to punish the giver. I don't know that. I heard that, and my spiritual antenna went up, and I was going, I don't know about that. Punishing people who are trying to help some folks, no strings attached. And you know, I understand, and even this launches a larger discussion of why do we give or why don't we give? Okay, because there are people on different sides of this. There are some people who just they give. They see somebody, pulls on their heartstrings, they want to help them out, and so they do, just right there. And then there are other people who are like, no, you don't help them in that way. Or if you're going to help them, you go buy them food, or if you have, we do blessing bags here, get them a bag, give it to them, and that's a better way of helping them. Or you don't give them money. And so, you know, as you think about why are there those who give and why are there those who don't give, and first, I think the reason why some folks would give, for one, it's out of the goodness of their heart. You want to do the right thing. We teach our children. I teach my sons. You do the right thing. And for them, there are those who feel this is the right thing to do, is to help some folks out. And hey, they're right there, and it's easy. Here you go. Here's some money. No questions asked. No strings attached. And then there's the other side of the argument, which says, you know, well, no, you don't want to do that because, especially from a Christian perspective, We want to be good stewards of our money. And we don't just want to give something to someone and they're just going to go waste it on booze. Ah, and now we've gotten into where I think we're kind of heading with folks like even Mr. Joy, who, you know, we're judging motives. But we don't get to do that, by the way. Only God is able to judge the heart. We don't get to judge motives. And but I can already hear the pushback is, you shall know them by their fruits, right? Their works, actions speak louder than words. And it would seem that this guy, he's refusing help. There are reputable and good ways of helping this guy that he doesn't want anything to do with. He just wants to do this. And so it does seem kind of, and especially he's got $1,800 in his pocket when he's caught. See? I mean, it's just common sense. Yeah, I hear you. The other side is, you know, there are guys, folks like this who abuse the system. Kevin Joy, here he is, of Fresno. But they seem to be the exception rather than the rule. I don't think every vagrant or every panhandler is a Kevin Joy who is refusing help. Now, I'm sure there are some, but I don't want to paint with a broad brush here. I was out with the preacher from Atwater, shout out, Ethan Lyles, and we were out doing some work on the streets, talking with homeless folks, and we're at one of these corner liquor marts, because that's where they hang out. And here it pulls up this car, and two guys get out. One guy walks right up to Ethan, shakes his hand, and Ethan's just like, his mind's blown. He recognizes this guy. He'd been out on the streets just a few weeks before, and Ethan had been out there, and the church, and they'd been helping these folks, and Ethan prayed with this guy, and now here he is. He was dressed in a uniform for his job. I think he worked for like DirecTV or something. I mean, it was a trip, right? Because here's this guy just a few weeks earlier who had been on the streets, had probably done some panhandling, was relying upon the goodness of society. And now he turned his life around and was doing good stuff. Not everyone's a Kevin Joy, all right? You want to bring up Kevin Joy, I'll see and raise you a, I can't remember this kid's name, but not everyone's like this. Also, another little bit that gets tossed in the mix here is we're supposed to be a Christian nation, right? I mean, I know our president has said whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. We're a Christian of Jews and Muslims and et cetera. But we're supposed to be a merciful society, right? A gracious society of some kind of caliber related to Christianity. And one case that stands out, and it's on my mind just because it's recent and it's a sports thing, and I, you know, like sports, and is this Ray Rice business. Remember Ray Rice? He's the Baltimore Raven who punched out his fiancée on an elevator a couple years ago, year and a half ago. This guy, he owned it. He got caught red-handed. And he got kicked off. He hasn't been in the NFL since. But there's something. Oh, he's going to be one of the coaches in the collegiate football game coming up this weekend that highlights and showcases high school football phenoms. Okay, so merciful society. We're big on giving people second chances and third chances. Here's a guy who is on his 70-somethingth chance, right? I think of, you know, one of the things that Jesus told his disciples. Yeah, over in Matthew chapter 18. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Well, this guy's, you know, it's his 78th time, so we're good, right? You get the idea. It's Jesus saying, no, you keep on forgiving. We're supposed to be this Christian nation, this merciful society, and yet We're actually having conversations where we're not just going to punish the dude who's doing the deed. We're going to punish the people who are giving the money. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating cultural phenomenon that we're talking about here. The more I think about this, the more that response of punishing the giver seems like it's earthy. It's very natural. It's the flesh. And now let's bring in golden rule here, because I talked about the golden rule and what it means, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And the question that I have now, and which I'll develop more in the future, is why don't we do that? Why don't we practice the golden rule like we should? And at the bottom of this, and again, if we apply the golden rule to this situation, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. If I were down and out, I would want people to help me out. And if that's what I would want, then why am I withholding, right? One of the reasons we don't practice this, though, is because of the flesh. The flesh gets in the way. The natural man gets in the way. Our earthy selves start clouding this thing up with things like, well, they're going to abuse it, judging motives. We don't want them to waste it, so we want to be good stewards, okay? And it ultimately manifests itself as, you know, I really don't want to see these people here, right? It makes me uncomfortable when I'm at a red light. They're staring at me, and I see them, and, you know, and I start going to the cup holder and fiddling with invisible stuff that's not there, you know, and we want to get rid of them. That's what was going on this program I happen to be listening to. We need to get rid of the vagrant. Get them out of here. I want to get rid of all of them. Tired of seeing them. And so I started wondering. I didn't start wondering. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says things like, well, in the law, Deuteronomy 15 and verse 11, for there will never cease to be poor in the land. You're always going to have them. And by the way, this is right in the middle. Context here, Deuteronomy, the second tenet of the law, right smack dab in the middle of the law, perfect law, is God saying, yeah, but there's going to be poor among you. Even though you have these statutes about very specific about the division of the land and the inheritance and the inalienable, unalterable nature of the law, and even though the law had been put in place to make sure that an Israelite wasn't born into poverty, you're still going to have them. Even though the law, perfect as it is so designed so that you won't have this kind of stuff in the land, you're still going to have it. Just because of the fallen, broken nature of the world. And yet, God is exhorting his people, you keep reading, therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land. And there doesn't seem to be any indication here of discrimination about this. Like, you know, if your brother, if your Hebrew brother isn't an aggressive panhandler, so long as he's in that situation, well, you're okay, you can do that. There's no qualifiers here. There's just, you extend compassion, you extend mercy. Open wide. When I hear, get rid of the vagrant, we gotta do something. We gotta punish the giver. You know what I hear? I hear the sound of the bones of your hand cracking as you close it around your dollar bills, y'all, okay? That's what I hear. You're closing your hand to your brother, to the needy, to the poor. Yeah, but look, this guy, yeah, okay, I hear you. I hear you. But do you hear this? Are you... That's the law, though, Nick. We're New Testament Christians. Jesus, Matthew 26 and verse 11. For you always have the poor with you. You'll not always have me. Reiterated in Mark 14, verse 7. For you always have the poor with you. And whenever you want, You can do good for them. You not always have me. John 12, verse 8. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Yeah, but there's no but here. They're always going to be there. So you get the law, and you got Jesus, and he's saying, and even we can even go to the prophets. The biggest thing that God had against his people was how they treated the poor among them. This guy had $1,800 in his pocket. He's not poor. He's got more in his pocket than most people have in their savings account. Still do good to people. Golden rule still applies. I can see why Paul would write things like, you know, don't grow weary of doing good to everyone. It's because of guys like Kevin Joy, who it can be wearisome. And yet, open wide your hand. Open wide your hand. It's not as simple as I think we're trying to make it out to be. Like we can just snap our fingers, write a new law punishing the giver, and hey, it's all going to be gravy. There go the vagrants. Problem solved. This is complex. And if we're working from a position where we don't think the worst of people, which, by the way, shouldn't characterize people who follow God, a compassionate people. You're not supposed to have this malicious nature where all you think is the worst of people. Love thinks no evil. Everybody loves chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, but they forget about love thinks no evil. And yet that's exactly what I hear when I tune into programs like that, is evil thoughts. But you know what? Doggone it. If it's not the radio, it's in my own. It's right between my own ears. Because I read about Kevin Joy, and my natural inclination is to say, dirtbag, you don't need any more money. My money would be better spent over here. And that's the flesh. I'm persuaded. That's the flesh. While the spirit is going, yeah, but you still gotta love this guy. Still created in the image of God. He's still a real flesh and blood person, even if he is doing stuff which it's not right. It's not right. Today in church history, back in 1956, elders of the Little Flock and 28 other Christian leaders in Shanghai are arrested. They had been carrying on the work begun by Watchman Nee, who had been arrested 4 years earlier by Shanghai police. It's just this story is fascinating. If you don't know much about Watchman Nee, read a little bit up on him. And that I had to do some next level research here. That's what you get here at Life from the Pulpit is next level research. Because I wonder, what happened? What happened to these guys? I mean, I know that Watchman Nee and his little group, they were persecuted because the Chinese government was very anti-Christian. It was communist. And they would round these people up. Watchman Nee was he was sent away for re-education. And in January of 1956, there was a nationwide sweep where the Chinese government was targeting his co-workers, specifically the elders of that little flock who had been continuing his work. And I thought, what happened to these guys? Well, they went off to labor camps, and some of them died. They were martyred, essentially. Died in the work camps. Others, they faced lengthy prison sentences. In fact, Watchman Nee himself He was brought up to the high court in Shanghai. He was told that he was excommunicated by the elders in the church. I don't know if that's true or not. But he was found guilty of all charges that were brought against him. And he was sentenced to 15 years imprisonment, reformed by labor. So he went to the labor camp. He wasn't allowed any visitors. In fact, the only visitor allowed to see him was his wife, Charity. And he was supposed to get released in 1967, but they detained him. They never let him go, and he died in prison on May 30th, 1972. But it was on this day, 60 years ago, that some elders and members of the little flock were arrested.
And now it's time for the question of the day. Question of the day. Question. This is the question of the day on Life from a Pulpit.
Is it true there are not any marriages in heaven? Is it true that there are not any marriages in heaven? That is a good question. And I believe the answer is found in the Gospels when Jesus is questioned about he's questioned by the Pharisees about the resurrection. Sadducees. Did I say Pharisees? Sadducees about the resurrection. Matthew 22, verses 23 and following, there are parallel versions, parallel accounts of the same instance. Over in Mark chapter 12 and Luke chapter 20. But Matthew's will suffice to answer the question. The Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in spirits, angels. They're a really strange group. But they had a question for Jesus. Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brothers. It's called the Levirate law. Brother's supposed to take up for his dead brother. Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died. Having no offspring, he left his wife to his brother. So to the second and third down to the seventh. All of them. And then the wife died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her. Here's Jesus' answer. Verse 29, Matthew 22. You are wrong. You are quite wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. It doesn't say they become angels, they're like angels, it's a simile, it's different. As for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? So, and he corrects their view that, no, there are angels and spirits and resurrection, all this stuff. But that little phrase there about in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage is a very heavy indicator that there are no marriages in heaven. God becomes all in all, and you're a part of that when you go to heaven. And so there's no longer any need for marriage. Will you know your spouse up there? If you're married, will you know him or her? I think so, yeah. And there'll probably be some kind of remembrance of relationship, but that relationship is gone. It's not a part of the heavenly scheme of things. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit, like the Facebook page, and you'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast. Update the blog, post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Question of the Day segments are there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Follow me on Twitter, at InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. New blog where I publish my bulletin articles, notsecretsecret.wordpress.com. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E from the pulpit.wordpress.com. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store. Download all the episodes to your particular device. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, MercedChurchOfChrist.org, MercedChurchOfChrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there to help you in the daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.